to have the Lord's table tonight. Now, somebody may wonder, why do you have it at night? Because that's when they had it in the New Testament. And I feel like we should, as the Lord enables us, do as they did then. This is very important. The Lord said, this do in remembrance of me. And I'm going to be speaking out of Acts chapter 18, where the disciples were said to believe through grace. Matthew chapter 9, the Lord says to this man, son, be of good cheer. I've entitled this message, Six Reasons to Be of Good Cheer. Now, there's a lot of sorrow in this life. There are trials, there are disappointments, there's disillusionment, the sorrow that your sin brings upon you, the sorrow that others' sin brings upon you. There's a lot of sorrow in this life. Six reasons to be of good cheer. Now, these are reasons that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to be of good cheer. There was a song that came out some years ago. I always liked it. But they said, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Landlord says your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. And there's not a well-grounded reason in that song to not worry and be happy. But these words are utterly valid because these are the words of him who knows when there is a reason to be of good cheer. Now, these words, be of good cheer, cannot be said indiscriminately to all men. Now, there are men, perhaps I'm speaking to you, there are men who have plenty of money in the bank and they have health. They're not sick, their loved ones are not sick. Perhaps you don't even have conflict in your life. Everything is going good. That's still not a reason for you to be of good cheer. Somebody says, explain that to me. Well, David spoke of the prosperity of the wicked in Psalm 73, and he said regarding these men who have no trials, everything's going their way. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Moses said, in due time, their foot shall slide. Now, good cheer is not founded on reasons in the world to be of good cheer. Everything's going well. I got plenty of money. I'm healthy. I'm wealthy. I don't have any conflict. My family's getting along. I'm having a good time at work. Everything's good. That is not a reason for good cheer. The scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? But it is equally true, if God be against us, who can be for us? You see, the Lord does have enemies. Everybody who doesn't believe his son is his enemy. The carnal mind, the scripture says, is enmity against God. Now, if God's against you, I don't care how good things are, there's nothing to be of good cheer about. But if God's for you, at all times,
you have reason to be of good cheer. Every believer, without exception, has a valid ground to be of good cheer all the time. Now, if you're a believer, I hope you leave this place in good cheer. And if you're not a believer, I pray that God makes you a believer and you leave this place in good cheer. Now, here is the first reason for good cheer. The Lord says to this man in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Do you have sins? Sins of omission, sins of commission, secret sins, sins that no one knows about but you and God. Sins. The Lord says to this man, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Now here the word "forgiven" is in the perfect tense. Perfectly completed. Never to be repeated. All of your sins, even the ones you have not committed yet, are forgiven. This cannot be reversed. You didn't do anything to obtain this great blessing. As a matter of fact, we don't even read where this man asked for forgiveness. He was told he was forgiven. Don't you have to ask for forgiveness first? This man didn't. He found out he was forgiven. Now, that's the way forgiveness works. You find out you have been forgiven. Now, most people think that forgiveness is the end of an equation. If you're sorry for your sins, if you turn from your sins, if you stop committing those sins and believe the gospel, you will be forgiven. Not so. There is not a drop of gospel in that message. That is salvation by works. That is all that is. Now, as I've already said, here in this instance, this man finds out, without him doing anything, he finds out he's been forgiven. You see, the believer's salvation does not end in forgiveness after he checks all the boxes that he needs to do in order to be forgiven. The believer's salvation begins with the complete, utter forgiveness of all your sins for Christ's sake. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, the Lord's forgiveness is so unlike our forgiveness. You see, if I sin against you, I'll be thankful if you forgive me. I hope you do. And you should. Not because I say you should, but if you've been forgiven, you'll forgive. If I sin against you, you'll forgive me. But you will not forget it. I've heard people say, well, I forgot. I don't believe you. Don't believe you. You will remember what I've done. And probably I will have lost an element of trust with you. You'll think, he doesn't have my back after he did that. Now, hopefully I can win it back. I'd love to be able to do that. But any way you look at it, when we forgive, we do not forget. We should. I realize that. You shouldn't hold a grudge. You shouldn't always be bringing things back up that have been done in the past. No, I'm not advocating that kind of thing. But I'm still saying, we don't forget. As a matter of fact, you don't forget anything. Everything's still in your mind. It might be underneath a bunch of layers of things that you kind of don't, it's not up in your conscious right now, but it's always there. We do not forget. But when the Lord forgives, he really does forget. Their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. And even when I'm in heaven, the Lord's not going to look at me and say, I remember what he did. I remember. You know why he doesn't remember? Because there's nothing there to remember. He blotted out, made not to be, my sins. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Now, this is what the Bible calls justification. Remember that publican beating on his breast, crying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You know what the Lord said regarding that man? He went down to his house justified, without sin, without guilt. So here's the first reason to be of good cheer. Because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's tree in your behalf, your sins are forgiven. They're blotted out. Even the ones you haven't committed yet, they're all gone. You stand before God without guilt. He looks at you and he is pleased with you. Is that a reason to be of good cheer? Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now look in Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. This is that woman who had that issue of blood for 12 years. And she was diseased and weak and anemic. And she'd sought from many different physicians for deliverance from this disease. And she'd spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she came in the press behind him and touched his garment, verse 22, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. That's the exact same word in the original. Be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now what was her faith? Well, look in verse 21. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Now, here's what I want to bring out about this woman's faith. She had such a high view of the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't even be expressed how high her view of Him was. This is how high it was, though. She said, if I can just come in contact with Him, if I can just touch the hem of His garment. I love to think of her crawling on her knees in the press, thinking, getting past people's knees and legs, and just to touch the bottom of His garment. She said there's such saving virtue and glory in His person that if I can touch the hem of His garment, I'll be perfectly whole. Now, the emphasis is not her touch. The emphasis is whose hem it is. Now, let me say this. Here's what I am personally relying on right now. This is my faith. Here it is. Everything God requires of me, He looks to His Son for. Everything. When Christ, before time began, agreed to be my surety, He told His Father, whatever you require of Him, look to me for. And all of my salvation is in Christ bearing full responsibility for my salvation. You see, He can't fail. He can't fail. It's impossible for Him to fail. All my salvation is in Him. You see, I trust His righteousness as my personal righteousness. I trust His shed blood as my sin payment. I trust His resurrection as my justification before God, so that God is actually satisfied with me. Just as He was satisfied with what His Son did in raising Him from the dead, He's satisfied with me. I trust His intercession to present me faultless before the Father, to keep me from falling, to cause me to persevere in the faith, and to present me faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Be of good cheer, daughter. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, it's not my faith as such that saves me. It's Christ that saves me. And I believe that. I believe that. Be of good cheer, daughter. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Turn to Matthew 14. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, I've never been in a situation like that on a boat. I've seen it on TV, and I think it would be absolutely terrifying. Maybe some of you have, to be in a ship with the waves tossing it around, the wind contrary. You're totally without control, scared to death. And that can certainly represent my life and your life. The wind is contrary. It's knocking you backwards. Look what it says. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Did He really do that? Yeah. You see, the laws of physics are His laws. And if He decides to break them, He does, because of who He is. He comes to them walking on the sea. Now, I can imagine, this is a slang way to put this, but you know they were freaked out. Looking at Him walking on the sea, coming to them. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It's I. Be not afraid." The doctor tells you, you have cancer. Be of good cheer. It's I. Be not afraid. You lose everything. Be of good cheer. It's I. Be not afraid. Your life is a wreck. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now, how can you make a statement like that? Because the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things. What comes under that umbrella? All. Even the bad stuff? All things work together. Now, you can't see how they're working together. You can't see how this is going to be for your good. But God does. Christ does. All things work together for good. Them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Be of good cheer. It is I. Whatever it is I. Be not afraid. Mark chapter 10. Bartimaeus has been crying for the Lord to have mercy on him. And verse 48 says, many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. He always stands still for that cry. Always. And commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. Same thing. Rise, he calleth thee. Be of good cheer. Rise, he calleth thee. I am thankful if he calls you. I need him to call me. Pass me not, O tender Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me. I need him to call my name. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Zacchaeus, you see, he calls his own sheep by name, doesn't he?
Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down.
Today I must abide at thy house.
Lazarus, come forth.
He that was dead came forth. Matthew, follow me. When he did, he followed him when he called him. Mary sees the Lord after the resurrection, and she didn't recognize him. There he is in his glorified body. Why didn't she recognize him? Well, maybe his glorified state was such that she couldn't. Maybe it's because the Lord withheld her from being able to see him, but she didn't recognize him. Scripture says she supposed he was the gardener. And then he said, Mary. And she said, Rabboni, my great Lord. He calls his own sheep by name. I have never heard Todd or Charles Willard or whatever my name is called audibly. But I tell you this, I've heard my name when I hear the name sinner. I hear my name. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Sinner, can you answer to that name? Be of good cheer. Rise, he calleth thee. He calls thee. If you can answer to that name, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you can answer to that name, be of good cheer. Rise up. He's calling thee. I'm not talking about somebody else right now. I'm talking about me. Rise. He calleth thee, the one who is the friend of sinners. Now turn to John 16. Verse 29. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe thou camest forth from God. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? What a glorious thing they're saying now. And the Lord answered them, Do you now believe? Big statements. Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, and every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Now, Peter left him alone, denied him, so did the rest. None of those fellows stayed around. Not one of them. They're talking about their faith now. I tell you what, anytime you talk that way, you ought to check yourself. Do you now believe? Really? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, now is come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. Verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you. Everything he'd said up to that point. everything he'd said in his earthly ministry to those men. These things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Not in yourselves. Not in your faith. Not in your successes. Not in your efforts. In me. There is no peace but that peace which is in me. Lord put it this way in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. He was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Now these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation, trouble, sorrow. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. You're going to get knocked back and forth. Now, that's just so. That's just so. And if you know yourself, you know that's so. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I, not you, I have overcome the world. Comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Tell them their warfare is accomplished. Their iniquity is pardoned. It is finished. I have overcome the world. Now you be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. You got every reason to be of good cheer. You have no reason to not be of good cheer if you're a believer. Finally, turn to Acts chapter 23. This is the last one. Verse 10. And when there arose a great dissension, Acts 23:10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captains, fearing lest Paul should be pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul." Now, let's examine what had taken place at this time. Verse 6 of chapter 23. When Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he knew that the people who were condemning him, half of them were Pharisees and half of them were Sadducees. You know what he knew? The Pharisees and the Sadducees hated each other. They were the liberals and they were the conservatives. He perceived that. He saw, these are the fellows that are arresting me. And then he got a good idea. A real good idea. When Paul perceived that the one part were Pharisees and the other Sadducees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope of the resurrection of the dead, I am called into question." Now, think about this. He's using fleshly wisdom at this time, isn't he? He's pitting the Pharisees against the Sadducees. He's saying, "I'm a Pharisee." He didn't say, "I'm a Christian." He didn't say, "I'm a follower of Christ" at this time. He said, "I'm a Pharisee." Because he knew that the Pharisees would like this. and it would be bringing down the Sadducees. And he said, I'm here because of my hope in the resurrection. He knew that the Pharisees believed in resurrection. He was using the wisdom of the flesh at this time. Somebody said, could Paul do that? Of course he could. Could you do it? Of course you could. How many times have you used the wisdom of the flesh to try to get yourself out of an uncomfortable situation? That's what he was doing. When Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I'm called into question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the multitude was divided, for the Sadducees say that there's no resurrection, neither an angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, we find no evil in this man. If his spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. He pretty much got himself out of trouble. And he's put in jail that night in the ward. And I don't have any doubt that he was thinking about what he did. And he got depressed. He knew he was wrong. He knew he was in the wrong. I have no doubt he was ashamed of himself. Ashamed of the way he had said, I'm a Pharisee, instead of saying, I'm a Christian. Ashamed of the fleshly policies he used to get himself out of trouble. And I would say he thought, Lord's taken his hand off me. And I don't blame him. Here I am in jail, and this is where I belong. And the Lord appeared to him. And look what he said. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. I'm not through with you. I'm not through with you. There's something yet to be done. You are to testify of me in Rome. I'm not through with you. Now here's a reason to be of good cheer. Lord's not through with you. He's got purposes for you to glorify his great name and testify of him. That's your purpose. That's why you're here. The fact that you're here right now says the Lord's not through with you. How many times have you thought, the Lord's through with me? He's just going to, that's it. It's over. No, it's not. Be of good cheer. The Lord is not through with you. Child of God, six reasons for you to be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has made you whole. Whatever it is, he says, it's I. Be not afraid. He calls you. He's overcome the world. He's not through with you. Be of good cheer. Let's pray. Lord, we will not be of good cheer unless you give us the grace to be of good cheer. But Lord, may we be of good cheer. Lord, to think of the forgiveness of sins blotted out by what you've done. To think of your greatness, that if we touch you by your grace, that we're completely whole. Lord, to know that you're the first cause of all things, that it's you. Lord, to hear you call us. To know that you've overcome the world. And we're here, and you're going to make us to testify thee. Lord, give us the grace to be of good cheer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.